In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus came as a wounded Savior for a wounded people. We would not have known your wounds until you confessed your sins in the pew alongside of us. And you could not have seen our wounds before the ashes that were used to mark us as wounded sinners. And so it's altogether appropriate that ashes be that outward sign that we use to expose our sins and to reveal our spiritual wounds. For as we have heard in today's liturgy, and when we came forward, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The imposition of ashes reminds us that we are but dust. That means death is our destiny. For God has sworn an oath on his wrath to send us to the grave and to return us to the ground as dust. The ashes, which many of us now have received on our foreheads, are the outward sign, and we pray, an outward sign of real repentance within us. These ashes on this day are a sign of our sober reflection on our sins. The ashes for which this day is named, however, show no one what your true relationship with the Lord is. Nor do these ashes indicate the true spiritual condition of your heart. These ashes cannot adequately show how wounded our hearts can be because of sin, and how much we find ourselves lamenting and grieving because of our sins against God. The hypocrites in biblical times loved to make a great show of such things, ripping and rending their clothes in a great public display of personal anguish. They did these things to impress people. Unlike them, it is not our intention to put these ashes on for show. Rather, the Lord says to us in his word from Joel, "Rend your hearts, not your garments." God is not against such pious outward actions like rending your garments or bowing your head and saying prayers aloud or fasting or helping the poor or even making the sign of the cross or having ashes placed on our foreheads. The Lord's only reservation when it comes to these acts of piety is that the inward motive of our hearts would match the outward action of our worship. Our intention then is not to draw attention to ourselves by the wearing of these ashes. We are not playing with the idea of repentance on Ash Wednesday. This is no game. Nor are we pretending to be sinners by the imposition of these ashes. We wear these ashes not as a source of pride, but in the deepest humility. For these ashes are really a confession, a visual confession to God and to others, an important reminder to ourselves that because of our sins, we are but dust. And to dust we will return, which means we are as good as dead. For the wages of sin is death. For the one thing that we do know, and what these ashes do show, is that we are dying. We are all dying. As repentant people, however, we are not only dying, but we are here today because we are also dying to live. And we know the only one who can give us life is God through Christ's name. And so we are here asking our kind and gracious God in Christ to breathe new life into our mortal bodies and to renew a right spirit within us. In the world today, so many of us underestimate the seriousness of our sins. But sin is so serious, if you think about it, that even God cannot wave a wand and simply remove our sins. Sins must be punished. If God were merely to tolerate the world's immorality, and if he permitted all of our sins to go unpunished, God would cease being holy and just, and everything would turn to chaos. And that's why we wounded sinners need a wounded Savior. It's only by his wounds that we are healed. Otherwise, these words, "O sacred head now wounded," would sound so wrong. For how else do we explain how the sinless Son of God allows men to nail him to the cross, substituting his life for sinners and being punished for crimes that he did not commit? It only begins to make sense when you understand that our Savior was wounded for wounded sinners. Sinners like you and I, who stand so much in need of the healing of forgiveness. Our Lenten series carries this sobering theme, the theme of the famous Lenten hymn, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." Listen to the haunting lyrics of verse 1. "O sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown." My friends, if there were ever a head that did not need the ashes of this day, it is his sacred head. We ask ourselves when we see him dying on the cross, why him and not us? Why thorns when he should have been wearing an eternal crown of glory? And yet in Jesus we see God in our flesh, nailed to the cross, crowned with thorns, and wounded for our transgressions, which have wounded so many throughout our lifetime. We see Jesus struggling on the cross to push himself up against the weight of his own tired body as he gasps for air. The one who formed us from the dust at the very first and who breathed life into us is now the one whose lungs are working against gravity as he labors for each breath, trying to fill his diaphragm. Here is the one whose unfathomable love for you and for me and for our fallen race would become dust for us. He not only becomes dust, but he would lay his head in the dust of death. There was nothing in him deserving death, and yet here he is, God on the cross. God is life, so that doesn't make sense. How can there be death? How could God die? But perhaps more importantly, why should he choose to die for us? Those questions we will spend all of Lent pondering in holy reverence and godly awe. While our sins have distanced us from God, what God has done on the cross summons us back into his loving, waiting, open, embracing arms. You see, when we sinned, it was fear over our sins that cause us to flee from God. But it is faith in this crucified Christ that prompts us to return to God, knowing that it's safe to do so. The message of the cross is very much like the message we read in Joel. For in both, the Lord appeals to sinners to return to him. For in the pages of the prophet Joel, the Lord says these words, and I would like you to hear them as they are indeed being spoken to you through me by the Lord. He says to each one of you this day, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, for I, the Lord, am gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love, and I will avert the disaster that should have befallen you. The vision of Christ on the cross, of his sacred head now wounded, beckons us to return to God. For no matter how many our sins, no matter how serious those sins, we can know that the cross forgives them all. And we can return to God in cheerful confidence. When the Lord calls Joel, he calls Joel to declare a sacred fast. He urges that the trumpets blare as a sound for the people to gather together in repentance for a fast. To encourage their return, the Lord announces that he plans to change his mind about them and not bring disaster upon them. That's what Lent really is. Lent is that call for us to return to God because we have the same promise of his grace. So often when we think of Lent, we think of it in terms of what we are giving up, of what we will fast from. And make no mistake about it, it's a good thing to fast. Our Lord assumes that his disciples will fast when he says in this afternoon's gospel, when you fast, not if you fast. But by itself, fasting, that is going hungry, can be nothing more than an empty religious exercise. The Lenten fast goes deeper than your decision to deny yourself some tasty treat. Rather, fasting invites and urges us to remember the one who can fulfill our hunger and satisfy it, the one who gives life and food to all flesh. God says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, he is merciful, he is slow to anger, he abounds in steadfast love. A Lent that is anything less than this return to the Lord is only a game. And rather than play games with God in this sacred season, he is summoning you to come back to him, to return to him now. And God doesn't want some little piece of you, some outward display, torn garments or such. Nor does God want a few minutes tossed his way one day a week. No, he wants you. He wants your heart. Your whole heart. And that's why we read, rend your hearts. And that's why the psalm says, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A heart that is rent. A heart that is ripped open. A heart that is wounded and damaged and broken. Believe it or not, is a heart that God can work with. A heart that he can forgive, a heart that the cross can fix. When from the depths of your being you plead, O God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I have made such a mess of it all. I have hurt so many people. I have failed so often to show your love in my life. And you know how terrible my thoughts are, and how soiled my desires are with sin. Have mercy on me, O Lord, have mercy on me. From this cry to the Lord for help, you can see that Lent is not for pretend sinners. Lent is for real. It's for real, honest to God sinners like us who have failed to love our God, who have failed to love our neighbor, and who recognize this reality, and who by God's grace despise our sins and ache for God's forgiveness and for his strength to do better. To those of you who have been wounded by Satan, by others in this world, and by those of you who have wounded others by sinning, this invitation is for you. For God is inviting you to return to him in repentance. He is saying, even now, return. Return and see the sacred head of your Savior that was wounded. Think about it. The God of Israel, no one less than Yahweh himself, took on flesh and blood for you so that he could share his flesh and blood with you. For all of you who have fasted for too long spiritually, who hunger and thirst for God's forgiveness and for a fresh start, and who thirst for his righteousness, remember what Lent means. Lent means that Christ can end your fasting because he is your heavenly food. As often as the church sets the Lord's table for his guests, Christ Jesus uses his church. He is using us like a trumpet to call you, his people, to return to him. So end your weeping and end your fasting and come to this wounded Savior who by his death heals your wounds. Wounded sinners need a wounded Savior. And Christ was wounded. He spilled his blood so that by drinking it at the altar, we might be refreshed and satisfied. The nails of his crucifixion tore through his flesh so that his flesh might become broken and his body become that living bread from heaven. For it is out of our wounded Savior that we wounded sinners can end the feast and fast, or end the fast and feast on his body and his blood for forgiveness. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.